Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Hello everybody, welcome to the Football Ramble Mailbag. It's Saturday, 16th of December, and I'm Marcus Speller.
And I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Vidushan Ahamtharaja.
He is. Hello everybody and welcome to the mailbag. A little reminder, if you want to get involved in this magnificent thing we call the mailbag, you can tweet us on X, or you can X us on Twitter, at Football Ramble. Message us on Instagram at Football Ramble, and of course you can email us show at footballramble.com, which is what some of you have done.
The traditionists among us, you know.
Indeed. And that's why some of you are going to be involved in the show.
Yeah, you've made the cut.
They've made the cut indeed. And what a cut it is. It runs deep and we love it, Vish, don't we?
Do we, Vish?
I don't know. Cuts are quite nasty, aren't
they? No, I mean, like, as in, if you're into something and you have a deep cut.
What I would say is, one for the head, you know, crate digging cut.
Yeah.
What I would say is, if you are going to get in touch hoping to have a question answered on the mailbag or make a point that we talk about on the mailbag, and you do it, you know, decide to tweet us on X, you might have to wait for us to scroll through all the fucking spam bots, porn bots, and all the other crap on there before we read your thing. So you're better off probably emailing.
I'd say so.
We do have one from a porn bot in here, actually.
That's fine. Yeah, good. It's been a slow week.
So let's start with that from Hootie McBoob. Will you come and meet
Stop
me?
Stop it. Because what you think a porn bot is going to sound mental. So just stop it. Yeah. Hootie McBoob, will you come and meet me?
You know as well as I do. That's a Simpsons reference, Fish.
I don't, actually.
Oh, do you not know that? Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. Will you come and meet me?
Yeah. Great.
It's all that crap, isn't it? Yeah. And they're never there.
No.
They're never there.
No. Catfish, isn't it?
That's what it is.
We're supposed to be starting off the mailbag with a serious question.
Let's start off with this question from Toto. Okay. Don't know if it's skill at you. We hope so.
That'd be great.
That would be lovely. But this was on X, formerly known as Twitter. What aspect of old school football is most overly romanticized? It's a good question.
It's a really good question.
It is.
And we grew up in the 90s. Fish a little bit less than us.
So I think for us it would be you know, old school football for us would probably be around the advent of the Premier League, the start of the Premier League, when I remember a bit before the Premier League, and obviously it came, the whole thing came into proper view for me around the start of the 90s, I would say.
It doesn't have to be what we witnessed, though.
Yeah, I interpreted it as what do people, you know, hark back to. I suppose elements of nostalgia that come up quite often that are actually overplayed.
Go on then, you go first then.
I think tough tackling. I think hard men.
That's what I was going to say.
Yeah, it's a good point.
That's what I was going to say.
There's a really interesting, you know, Vinnie Jones has this nonsense thing on TNT,
on Discovery. Plus,
that's it. Yeah.
His fishing show.
Yeah, his
Escape to the Country.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. But he there's a clip from an episode where he's fishing with Gazza.
Yeah.
And he says to Gazza that he regrets actually playing up to his reputation, which, people who don't know, Vinnie Jones was he's almost a caricature of a hard man. Really, he was almost like he wasn't concerned with the football itself. He just went around booting people.
Yeah.
And he regrets that now because he was like, oh, I just played up a bit to it. And I think he feels that he wasn't satiated as a footballer in terms of like actually being a, you know, strip it all away, playing football for a living type thing. And he was like, yeah, because I think I was a better player than I was. And Gazza went, you were.
I actually agree, but I know it seems a crazy thing to do. But if you look back at Jones's career, you know, obviously he was in gone in 60 seconds, but no, but I think it was at Leeds where they won the old second division.
It was.
And he was a decent player. Look, I don't want to start being too revisionist about it and start saying, you know, he was some sort of, great player who should have played for England and obviously played for Wales, but, you know, only played for Wales because he didn't get the call-ups for England, of course. But he definitely was a better player. But it is interesting that you say that because, you know, a clip or a highlights package from a football match back in the 90s, which for some reason is I often see every now and then, is that Manchester United game at Selhurst Park against Wimbledon, not the Cantona sending off, the 3-0, where Cantona scores a volley from quite far out. Dennis Irwin scores a lovely one that game as well. And there's a tackle that Vinnie Jones puts in on Cantona, which is shocking.
Yeah, it's bad.
It's almost waist high, it's thigh high.
Yeah, I remember it. Yeah,
and
yeah.
Cantona, quite brilliantly, just jumps up. Yeah. And sort of puffs his chest out as if to say, oh, what's that about?
Yeah.
Now, that stuff is funny, and that, I understand that being over-romanticised. I think it's the play acting that people don't like nowadays, whereas you just kind of get up and get on with it. But that tackle from Vinnie Jones, I don't want to be too sort of pious about it. I mean, I think does he only get a booking or something? He doesn't get sent off.
Right, yeah.
He would get probably 5 games nowadays. And that kind of thing, which is over-romanticised, is bollocks, because that type of tackle has no place in football.
And also, it implies...
Because he could have ended Cantona's career doing that.
It also implies that modern players aren't, for whatever reason, tough or strong or physically impressive because of that kind of... the way the game's changed, which is nonsense given anyone who's ever spent any kind of time in the same room or in close proximity to a professional athlete of that level. I mean, they're just ridiculously... athletic and muscular and strong. It's not about that. It's about how the game's changed. I think on the Vinnie Jones thing specifically, he played like 6 seasons in the Premier League. You know, he won things. You know, he played for Chelsea for, you know, I know Chelsea weren't quite a team then as they are now, but I mean, even so, he played for good clubs.
What he did with Wimbledon and that whole team,
that's part of
remarkable.
It as well, yeah. Yeah, they stayed in the Premier League for a fair amount of time. So, look, I think it's a really good answer, actually. I think there's definitely an element of every generation thinks the generation that comes along after them is in some way softer than them.
Definitely.
And that's been proven to be, there's a great guy on Twitter. It's not actually a football point, but I can't remember his name.
It's the quote from like the 1800s, isn't it?
Yeah, something. I'll dig it out. He basically every so often does a thread and says, here's a history of quote unquote, people don't want to work these days.
Yeah.
And he goes all the way back to like the times in like 1790.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's something that's always happened. So I think, that type of stuff, when you talk about romanticising big tackles and hard men, so to speak, it is very much like an older generation thing to do that.
We have to be careful, though, because, you know, we do sometimes talk fondly of, say, like the way Julian Dix operated, or, you know, I think we may even mention like someone like Terry Hurlock. So there is, I think it's more of a kind of curiosity, like laughing about it, if you see what I mean. We're not going, oh, I really wish that, you know, my team had a proper hatchet man where he would do people. And, you know, when, you know, Manchester City come to town, I wish someone could stick one on Haaland and put him out of the game.
Yeah.
You don't want that. There is, again, a funniness to stuff that happened before. Doesn't mean to say you're romanticising
it. People romanticise maybe Roy Keane in that way.
Yeah, true. But I'm. But
and he's
but,
a lot more modern.
But you, and I suppose the specific, you know, to really go specific with what you're saying there, the Benjamin Massing, Claudio Caniggia tackle.
Exactly. Yeah. Like again, it's funny because of the absurdity of it.
Yeah.
Is what you're laughing at. But you're not saying, you know, that that's kind of good. Yes, there is something about a side being strong and firm and no nonsense and you know, getting a bit physical within the laws of the game. But if you are this idea of the hard man, like, is doing someone, is physically going out to hurt them and maybe even injure them, that's the stuff that's over-romanticised. And that is bollocks, because the game is better than ever because of technology, and not technology, advancements. Technology, but in, if you know what I mean by that, being health and the way we are. And obviously the wages there, you know, the more focus on the game, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. Why on earth would you want to spoil the beautiful game? Like, I know it sounds a bit silly, you know, look, why on earth would you think, oh, it was brilliant, you know, we put Lionel Messi out for a couple of months. It's like, nobody wants that.
Yeah.
Well, there was a treatment that Diego Maradona got, for example.
Well, and it's, again, that Maradona managed to rise above that.
Yeah.
You know, but
Well, you think of, you know...
He got involved in some of it. Yeah.
But, you know, you think
again, one doesn't want to be too pious about
this. But you have to understand that to be successful in that, and we're going across different eras here. I mean, ultimately, you know, Maradona and Vinnie Jones and one or two others, probably same era, really.
Mm.
You know, Maradona's perhaps a little bit older, and you could take it all the way back to a George Best and a Pelé, who also got booted out of World Cups, for example. You know, the point is, I think, that you had to be hard then.
Yeah.
You had to be tough then, because you know, look at Graham Souness, brilliant player, won everything.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Iron fist
player.
In a velvet glove.
Yeah, exactly. But he was also kind of tough, because really you couldn't play in the centre midfield then.
But that's what you had to do. And people often transport those players into the modern era and go, well, the Pelés wouldn't be able to deal with them now. Well, hang on a minute. Well, let's do it the other way. Hmm. Because I'm pretty sure that players now would run rings because, you know, after 80, 85 minutes where everyone's going, oh, the fitness levels aren't as much. The players nowadays, you transport them back in time, which is a pointless conversation to have. The levels of fitness, the levels of athleticism, the speed, the pace, they murder them, you know.
You think of like...
figuratively speaking.
You think of... would you go back in time and murder an old midfielder?
Fuck it up and get beaten up.
It would save Gazza's balls.
Yes, it would do.
I think it's a really good answer. I think that's a really... It's a really kind of stark difference between the football that we see now and the football then, and so that's a good answer. My answer was essentially, I interpret it in a slightly different way, and I think that what I see a lot of now from mostly kind of younger people, I'm not criticizing younger people generally,
you know, but they are a bit soft.
could they do half an hour in midfield with me in my comp? I think that The way that people had to support football back in those days was actually quite awful, and I think there's still a lot of work to do, and I don't think the conversation is over. And in many ways, it's not really for me to judge, because we'll be talking about things like racism and homophobia and sexism and stuff, and that's not really something that affects me. But I do think we should celebrate the fact that football is a lot more welcoming now for a lot of people in a way that it definitely wasn't when I first started going to football, looking back on it. And I think the romanticisation of people who are this hashtag against modern football type people, a lot of those people have no experience of what it was like and wouldn't have fitted in any way at all had they been transported back there. I think football back then, looking back on it, was going to games could be quite bad.
Oh, it was.
Bordering on like the sinister.
If you're talking 70s and 80s.
Well, I'm not talking 70s because I wasn't born until 1980, but I'm talking about when I went as a young person.
Oh, okay. You're talking about your own experience then.
Yeah, right. I think it was undiverse. It was intimidating for a young kid. It was quite gatekeepery as well. It was kind of a bit like, where'd you come from? How long have you been watching
the
them?
Gatekeeper thing?
Where'd you stand?
Definitely...
Etc. Etc.
Yeah.
And a lot of that stuff is glossed over, chiefly because I don't think it comes across in the ways that people in modern times have to see that stuff. Mm-hmm. They'll see newsreel footage and a documentary of like all this hooliganism, but they won't see the day to day of what it was like. They'll just see stuff on the pitch, right? And that's understandable. I'm old enough to remember what football used to be like, and now, despite there still being work to do, and there's obviously it's got its problems, and you know, some of them are related to things like people being priced out of the game and working class people not being able to do things, and you know, still instances of racism and sexism and homophobia, it's much better than it was. There's still somewhere to go, but it was noticeably much worse back in the day.
I mean, to add to the point, I mean, I don't want to say particular clubs because that might be a bit unfair, but you know, you'd get like National Front trying to recruit.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Stadiums.
Yeah, you would.
I don't know how common that was, but it definitely happened is the point. You can't really fathom that now.
No.
Again, there is a lot of work to do, as you say, but some people can sometimes forget just how extreme it was.
But that's not
back in the day.
But the question's about romanticisation. And my direct point is that people romanticised football back in the day before unquote the Premier League came in and ruined everything, when actually it's a far more complicated story than that.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This is from Ryan on our Discord, and you will be prioritised with questions if you're one of our Patreon members. It's only $5 a month. You can join the Discord community full of other Ramble listeners, and you get extended versions of every Wednesday Ramble and ad-free episodes of every episode of the Ramble on the constant and up front. patreon.com/footballramble, or hit the link in this episode's notes. Ryan, our friend Ryan on the Discord, has asked this question. He said, is there a player that you wish you had seen in the flesh or wished signed for your club? I answered this with the wished signed for your club bit. You guys can interpret it as you wish. Marcus.
Oh, you want me to go first?
Yeah, well, why not?
Yeah, why not? So one has to be a bit realistic with this. That's how I'm interpreting it as well.
I've gone realistic.
Yeah, so I'm not saying...
Sliding doors could have happened.
No, but Vish, it's...
It's a bit different
for you. It's blank canvas for you, really.
Yeah.
Because you can pick any player in history.
Yeah.
Because they, you know, whereas Fulham, if I'm going, oh, you know, original Ronaldo maybe at Fulham, it's not happening. But...
You just end up talking about who are the best players in the world.
Indeed. Yeah. Yeah. However, I can wade in with a big hitter who was once close to signing for Fulham. Now, I have to confess, this was a few years before I'd moved to London and really started to go and watch Fulham. But there were conversations, he didn't end up signing, a 35-year-old Gabriel Batistuta nearly signed for Fulham.
Wow.
So I think that's fair to bring that to the table.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Even though, of course, he was 35, but my goodness. My
you
bloody
You wouldn't be talking
goodness.
About Mitra every week if you
that,
had
that's
it.
A, hey, Come on.
That's a great answer because one of my childhood friends who is a Chelsea fan still to this day, given you know all the incredible players that they've had, still to this day, like, loves the, they weren't necessarily successes, but loves the fact that he's seen George Weah and Andrei Shevchenko in Chelsea shirts.
Yes. I think that's fair. Yeah,
and the Chelsea thing around strikers is really interesting because if you look at all the success they've had from 2004-05 whenever it was when Abramovich came in, like if you look at their reputation and their record with strikers, it's actually quite an interesting one because their top scorers are Frank Lampard, who's a midfield player, of course. Before that was Bobby Tambling, who had the record for however long. Yeah. You have to go, the next one's Kerry Dixon.
Yeah.
Obviously, he scored a lot of goals, but way back in the day. The only player, really, that's troubled the top scorers in the Abramovich era is Didier Drogba. Yeah.
And he's only just got, he's got like something like 106 Premier League goals?
Yeah, he's got 164 in total for Chelsea.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Fewer than you think, yeah.
And other than that, it's Eden Hazard, again, not a striker. So they've not had, it's not,
well, they're not there for that long.
They've
not had
an Aguero or a Rooney. It's not they could really hang their hat on. This is a guy who, in the modern era, scored hatfuls and hatfuls of goals.
I think in the modern era, though, they would spread the goals. I mean, Gianfranco Zola is one of their best players in the modern era, but he wasn't an out-and-out striker bagging.
Yeah, but I'm talking about scorers specifically, goal scorers specifically. Yeah,
but so actually, I mean, it is a two-part of this question. Who would you wish you'd seen in the flesh, or wish for your club? Well, if I answer both, it would be Battistuta at Fulham.
Yeah,
Battistuta in the Premier League again. Doesn't matter if he turned up; it didn't really do too much or whatever. Just the fact that batting goals there, because what a player he was!
Amazing,
what a player he was!
Yeah.
But the one I wish I'd seen in the flesh was the aforementioned Brazilian Ronaldo.
Yeah, same.
I know it's a boring answer.
It's not. There's nothing boring about the original Ronaldo.
Well, yeah, I mean, you could pick either of them. I never saw Batistuta in the flesh either.
Yeah,
sadly.
No, okay, I don't think I did either. Vish, what about you?
I've gone for seeing in the flesh because you know, as a Manchester United fan, been blessed to see.
Vish, is it me?
Yeah, I've never seen you play, actually. Yeah. Actually, well, I've never seen
it's a 30-year-old Luke Moore.
For the best.
When we had
speaking of old-fashioned hard men.
When we had that five-a-side do that was hosted by Acast, there were obviously a few people there who listened to the ramble. Both of them came up to me. One of them was on my team, but both of them came up to me and said, how do you think Speller would have done here? And I was like, I went... Oh, I've never seen him play, but he's supposed to be good at.
So I'm like, your answer.
Oh, you haven't seen him play.
Yeah. Like, there you go.
No.
You could choose Spur. Yeah. In his pomp, which was some time ago.
A sleep deprived middle aged man. Now you see.
Yeah. Well, my answer. And I wonder if you've actually seen him live. Actually, I reckon you probably have. But I didn't. Ronaldinho.
Yeah.
So I have a collector's item in terms of what I've witnessed at football, and a Ronaldinho assist for a Lionel Messi goal.
Huh.
At the Nou Camp,
yeah.
So I did see him. He was on his way out then, but just that pass, you know, you just want to see a moment.
Yeah,
yeah.
You see him is great, but you just want to see a moment. And,
I don't think I've seen him.
Yeah, and that was glorious. But there is something about just simply seeing him or someone like that in the flesh. I mean, it's a slightly different answer, but I went to watch Milan Juventus once about 13.
That's
12.
Just a great game to have on your CV,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's a beauty, but. Alessandro Nesta was injured in the warm-up and didn't play. Amazing. Now, again, it was towards the end of his career and all that kind of stuff, but it was like, to see that hair.
I wish I'd made more of a forensic note of the games I've been to be honest, because I've been to millions, but I can never remember what I've seen and what I have, and it's difficult.
Yeah. Yeah.
My brain doesn't work in that way.
I went to the opening, I was in New York at the time, I went to the opening of New York Red Bulls Stadium, which was in Jersey.
So New Jersey,
I've been there, I've been there.
For their opening
New
game.
Jersey, it's not in Jersey.
Yeah.
That'd be an odd place to have, wouldn't it?
It's in Jersey City, which people call Jersey.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, there's another one. Yeah. It's a Crown Protectorate. I'm just playing my part.
So it was the opening
of the British end up.
It was the opening of their new stadium, and they were playing Santos.
Oh.
And 17-year-old Neymar.
Yeah.
Was up front.
Oh, cool. Yeah, yeah,
do you remember Ganso?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Ganso.
So I would see Ganso play.
Edu Dracena, centre back, by the way.
My goodness, Ganso played for Amiens when I went to Northern France once with Brassel.
He was a great hope for a long old time.
People
were very excited about him. Speaking of which, my answer is a player I wish my club Portsmouth had signed is Andres D'Alessandro. He was on loan.
Right.
He was on loan at Portsmouth
for
a while.
Answer.
Yeah, he came to Portsmouth on loan from Wolfsburg for I think one half of a season in 2006. Mm-hmm. Scored an amazing goal against Charlton, which people will know. Almost like a prototype modern player, really. Like he played off the right for Pompey and had an amazing left foot. He used to cut in. But for some reason, and It's kind of, because for all of Redknapp's faults, which there were many, and Redknapp was the manager at the time, he had just come back to the club. Like, he was still pretty, he's pretty good at getting a deal done. That was the thing he was good at.
I think it's fair to say.
And everyone was like really prepared for D'Alessandro to sign permanently, which is a very key time for Portsmouth because they'd almost been relegated. Obviously, they were going to win the FA Cup a couple of years later. And it's really, he went on to, he had like a, he was like an amazingly creative player. And he was one of those players of many, many of them before Messi came along, would say, oh, he's a new Maradona type player.
Yeah,
like a number 10 player.
Yeah.
And he never quite lived up to it. But he did go on to have an amazing career. He won the Libertadores with an international now.
He did,
found a home there.
That's right, yeah.
Having been
25 international caps for Argentina.
Yeah, yeah. Bit of a journeyman before that, though. But what's really interesting about it is I remember being really excited about him. He's the kind of player that would get you off your seat. You know, I mean, if those of you who haven't seen him play, he's really technically good, really fucking quick. Just a really creative, purely creative player who I think would have had a really interesting time in the Premier League at that time, but it never happened. Anyway, if you watch Harry Redknapp talk about him in retrospect and all these millions of interviews he does, he kind of talks about D'Alessandro like with almost like a cultish reverence. Like he's one of the best players I've ever seen. Mm. But I know Redknapp does a lot of talking, but you can kind of tell when you're listening to him speak and watching him talk about him, it's almost a bit like he's really actually quite upset that he didn't get to work with him.
Yeah.
And he told the story that he brought him in about the day before they're about to play Bolton. And he took him in for training. And he said, oh, this is who it is. And he's going to play tomorrow night kind of thing. And a lot of the players are saying, against Sam Allardyce's Bolton away from home, you cannot pick him. He's 5 foot nothing. He's got fucking muscle on him. He's going to be, he'll just be eaten alive. And apparently, I don't actually remember the game, but Renan was saying he was fucking unbelievable. And like people just couldn't deal with him. And it's a really poignant one for me because you had a snippet of it. It wasn't just a bit like, oh, he might be linked, like a Batistuta type thing.
Totally, yeah.
He played like probably, I don't know, like 13 games or something. And it was really exciting. And then we had it snatched away again. So that's probably the one for me. I would say I'd love it if we had had him for a bit longer.
But I think that's a nice insight into sporting a club which has been in the Premier League, but is not traditionally, you could say.
Yeah, not a big club. Really,
not a big club, and you have a little sniff of a player who some people might have not heard of him, or who is he, but actually did some decent things.
He would have been an absolute hero.
Yeah.
Basically, since Robert Prozinecki played for Pompey,
that's outrageous.
There was that period of time where everyone just wanted someone like that again.
Yeah.
And I think he's the most... we've had some good players, but he's probably the most... like that since then.
But that guy, without harking back too much to the opening question, is that's the type of player that everyone genuinely romanticises.
Oh, yeah.
The hard man, yeah, fine. But those are the players where you kind of go, oh, man, to watch him and so on. And that's why those players in the modern game are more protected with the laws and the changing of the laws and so on.
I don't know if you really get pure players like that now.
Yeah, maybe not.
Because I think it's the demands on fitness and strength and stuff are very, very high now.
Yeah, when you get a player like, who was it that played for Deportivo?
Jarminio?
No, but lovely to hear.
Oh, Valeron?
Valeron. Yeah. Players like that who are just lovely players.
Yeah.
Who could just stroke the ball.
Possibly Riquelme maybe as well.
Maybe Riquelme. Yeah.
So there was a really interesting conversation happening on X.
There's some great stuff on there.
It's always interesting.
It's not surprising to hear that.
Yeah. It speaks for itself, doesn't it? But they, you know, as I suppose like a lot of people do when they talk about players that they weren't around for, they like overemphasize how good they were. And there was a conversation happening about Guti, about like, what an incredible playmaker, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And it was interesting, you know, because we were around when Guti was playing and there was no sense at all that Real Madrid were missing out on anything because he was lazy.
Yep.
Yeah. Didn't really fit any system, really. Was a bit of a luxury player and every now and again they'd bring him on for a cameo here and there. But obviously his highlight reel is, you know, it's the back heel to Benzema. It's all these little
amazing
touches.
I saw that. I remember seeing that on TV as it happened and I could not believe what I was watching.
Yeah. And I suppose the player for us, I think, that was like that, because I was thinking, did we ever do that in our generation, as it were? Even De La Peña.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like, everyone was, I think you just, if you rated him, you were cool. Mm-hmm. Riquelme is another one. Mm-hmm. I know Riquelme is an exceptional player, but there were those kind of players that...
Would you put Isco in there?
Do you know who I'd put in there? Matt Letizia.
Oh, there we go. Fuck you now.
Mm. Yeah.
Greg Chuka.
Yeah, move us on, Vish. Fucking right. I've had about up to my fucking eyes with Marcus.
So that sounded like Greg Chuka was a footballer I'd like to watch. But maybe he is, I don't know. But he's emailed us and he says, hello from Canada. Hello from the UK.
Hello back. It's like Eurovision.
So he's linked us a story about a Romanian side, Steaua Nicolae Bălescu, who, while in the fourth tier in 2006, suffered lots of crowd violence and pitch invasions, even though the crowds rarely exceeded 100.
They're really motivated.
Yeah. So the owner dug a moat and filled it with crocodiles.
I think many, many years ago we spoke about this on the Ramble, but I had a very
Back in the wild boars days.
Oh, I tell you what.
Where a match was abandoned because a lot of wild boars invaded the pitch.
I mean, that was when podcasts were the Wild West.
It was.
And we were gun-toting...
Yeah, what? Losers?
Legends. But yeah, the quotes around this, the owner, I set my men to dig the moat and filled it with water. Now, you will only see ducks swimming there, but in the spring, everyone will get a real shock. I had an idea, which maybe is crazy, but I think it will help us. Maybe.
Yeah, because then he goes, oh, I was just walking around my local area and I saw a crocodile in a pet shop.
Bing.
Yeah, exactly. You've got 50 of them.
But I love it, though, when he says, I found out there were only 470 euros. I went straight in there and to the local businesses to sponsor them. Crocs with, tags on their back and all that. Yeah, So, but yeah, he said, as soon as it's warm enough, I'll introduce them to the ditches. So he's a little bit,
But the thing is, here's the thing. I
can't have him in the winter.
A man who has this type of idea is almost certainly not going to be able to do this safely.
Yeah.
He's basically, the way he's talking about it, I just dig a load of ditches, got a men to do it, filled it with water. I'm going to introduce the crocodiles to the ditches. He doesn't sound like he knows what he's doing, and that's what concerns me.
Do you want to test the pH? Nah, should be fine.
Yeah, exactly. I love it, though.
What do they eat? Football fans.
Well, he said, I don't think we'll have any trouble with pitch invasions now. But what I love is that the football fans will think, they'll realise, hang on a minute, they're not there in the winter. It'll just be seasonal pitch invasions.
Yeah, yeah.
It'll be frozen, wouldn't it? That's backfired.
Ah, so what we're going to have to... polar bears. We'll have polar bears in the winter. Where does this end? Yeah. Oh, they can get out the ditches. It all goes off. And it'd be like Pablo Escobar's garden. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think he would have called it a garden.
True.
I think one of the things that's also interesting about this story is this football club is... they've famously got, this is 2006, so the guy's almost certainly dead now, sadly. If not, he'd be 100 years old, and good luck to him.
How did he die?
In 2006, an 83-year-old priest, Yurnal Teodorescu, is also the village's vet. And he is famous because the local church in this village would always have very short Sunday services whenever the team were at home, because he wanted to nip off and go to the game, right? And he claims he's only ever missed one game since he started supporting them. Yeah. And that was because he quote-unquote had no choice but to leave at half-time to administer to an ailing pig. So he's like super fan, priest and vet.
Love it.
He could sort the crocodiles out, no problem.
I think he could.
It's that kind of story you love on the mailbag. Thanks for bringing it to our attention.
Nice one, Greg.
Big Greg.
Yeah.
Don't hear enough from Greg.
Favourite Canadian Greg?
Rozetsky.
Thank you, yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
Wow, he was just British.
Yeah, why are you doing this?
Because you hate tennis and I love having a dig.
But you're the only person, I reckon, in the whole of UK broadcasting this week, and this is not the first time you've done it, let's be honest, to mention Greg Rozetsky. Why do you keep mentioning him? What, Lennox Lewis? He did Canada and Britain. Mention him. He's fucking unified heavyweight champion of the world.
Just putting me off.
Celine Dion, Canadian.
I heard the name.
No, let's not just do Canadian people. No. It's got to be British.
Rachel McAdams.
They have to be specific Gregs from Canada.
Yeah.
So
don't Google it. It's not going to give you the result.
Ah, he's American.
Who?
Greg Proops.
Yet again, like an astonishingly tragic reference. Like it's not serving anyone. Greg Proops.
He was good on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Why are you doing this?
He was, wasn't he, Vish? Back me up there. Right, let's finish with
from
this.
Phoenix. Nowhere near Canada.
Yeah, a few of them, like Ryan Stiles, I think he was
Why
Canadian.
Why are you making me Google Canadian Gregs?
It was
good vegan sausage rolls, actually.
They are. Maybe a bit of poutine.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's finish with this question from Rusty Gray on Twitter. If Vish had to swap an England cricketer and an English footballer, who's he going for and in what positions?
You know what? If we fit it to like the England football team now,
yeah,
you know, it's probably what, in central defence, you'd say there's a bit of an issue?
Yeah. Who you having? Point? Butler?
Stuart Broad, I reckon.
Stuart Broad.
No, he's retired.
He doesn't count?
No, he doesn't count. He's retired.
Shitting hell.
Yeah. We have Ian Botham,
Mark,
if you want.
And also, Mark is good mates with Stuart Broad, so that's disrespectful.
I've got it on good authority that he retired. Yeah, because he said it on Sky Sports that time. Yeah. Can I wade in? I think Harry Kane would be an excellent batsman.
Oh, so it's flat. Oh, so
could
you go either way. Yeah. Well, you know, there's that Spurs thing of them when they were playing cricket in their training area, because Joe Hart is a very, very good cricketer.
Is it Gary Neville as well?
Phil Neville was the youngest player to ever play for Lancashire's second team until Flintoff came around, and there was talk that he was as good as.
I remember Gary Neville sharing a newspaper clipping on his Twitter years ago
with Matthew Hayden.
Yeah, where he's opening the bat with Matthew Hayden. He was an overseas player at the time. He's one of the greatest batsmen ever, right?
Yeah, Australian guy. Yeah, quality. Yeah. No, Kane's a good one. I kind of think what you would you.
No, I think Joe Hart's fit. So who are you giving England then from the cricketing world?
From the cricketing world, yeah. I'm not gonna go back on what I said at the start and just give them a hard man in midfield.
Yeah.
Surely Ben Stokes. Yeah. It has to be, doesn't it?
The fire starter.
Yeah.
Won a couple of World Cups.
Exactly.
There we are.
There you go. He's got pedigree. He knows the tournament.
He knows how to win.
What to do.
Knows how to win.
You can put that back, Ben. You can't use that. Yeah.
Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Mailbag. We'll be back with another one of these next week. Do get in touch. The show, it needs you. And it wants you, everybody.
Yeah.
So do tweet us on X at Football Ramble, message us on Instagram at Football Ramble. And of course, our favourite avenue for you to use for this is show@footballramble.com on the old emails. Do join us on Monday, of course. Don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app. Lovely old job. Continue enjoying your weekends. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for tuning in, Hantha Raja.
Come on, Tim.
Yes.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.